we worship the Lord through song, singing out, "Angels we have heard on high." We'll sing out three verses together as we begin.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Thank you for joining us for worship today at First Baptist Church of Wixom. Here are a few upcoming events to help you stay connected.
The E3 Sunday School class resumed today with the first segment of Giving the Exchange. Giving the Exchange is a six-week class specifically designed to take believers from their current friendship with unbelievers to the point of doing a Bible study together with them. It is not too late to join Giving the Exchange, a six-week class at 9:45 a.m. in room 403.
There are no midweek gatherings planned for this week. We encourage you to spend extra time over the holidays building relationships with your neighbors and family and sharing the gospel with them. We are planning evening services for each Sunday night in January. Join us here in the auditorium at 6 p.m. each Sunday night for a special series of messages on frequently asked questions and their biblical answers.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham, and I just want to say thank you to all the church and project leaders and volunteers who supported Operation Christmas Child this year. You know, we couldn't do this without you guys. You just do a tremendous job. And every box that we collect is an opportunity to reach a child. It's not just that child, but it's the mother, the father, the sisters, the brothers, the aunts, uncles, grandparents. I mean, every box has an opportunity to reach more than maybe 10 or 15 more people. So when you look at it, it's huge. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to touch a world in the name of Jesus Christ, and you all have been the backbone of this. I believe the most important part that we can do is to pray, all of us, for these children as these boxes go, that God will just use this to touch the lives of children around the world for His Son, Jesus Christ. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
Giving is one of the many ways we have to worship the Lord. If you'd like to give financially, you can utilize the giving box in the back of the auditorium, or you can give online at fbcwixom.org and click on the tab at the top of the page.
If this is your first time at FBC, we would love to connect with you. If you'd like more info about FBC, prayer, or to learn how you can get involved, You can fill out our online connections card at fbcwixom.org/connect. Also, make sure to stop by the Welcome Center for a special gift on your way out after the service. Once again, thank you for joining us for worship today. Now we invite you to worship the Lord through song as we prepare to hear from God's Word this morning.
Good morning and welcome. Thank you for joining us on this day after Christmas. We're really glad that you made it this morning. Today is actually the end, and it's convenient how this worked out, of Pastor's message series in 1 Corinthians. We've been in 1 Corinthians really for a majority of this year, and now we're getting to the very, very end. And one of the things you're going to notice that Paul does in chapter 16 is he reminds us of the things he has talked about. And so that's what the message is going to be about, some encouragement for us to do the things that Paul has been encouraging us to do in a positive way. He's gotten after the Corinthians earlier. Now he's going to encourage them, you can do this. But I think it's also important for us to think about a few of the things that Paul said and think about maybe how they connect together, because we're just going to look at the verse that Paul says, be watchful, stand in the faith, act like men, be strong, do everything with love. But did Paul talk about those things? He did. In fact, Paul starts off his book, his very first charge to the Corinthians is a charge to be watchful. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul said, be watchful of disunity. And it turns out that disunity was actually tearing the Corinthian church apart. Be watchful about that. Paul also encouraged the Corinthians to stand in the faith. He says this in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. He says this, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's encouraging them to stand firm in what they had been told, and all of that was Jesus. That's what Paul spoke when he was there. We also had encouragement to act like men. This is found in 1 Corinthians 11:3, where we're told this, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. But the important thing there was to remember that we all have to grow up and act responsibly. Specifically, we have to obey Jesus Christ. And if we're obeying Jesus Christ, we're setting a Christ-like example for others. Paul encourages us to be strong in 1 Corinthians 10:31. You're familiar with this verse. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And finally, probably the easiest to locate for us is the encouragement by Paul to do everything with love. We probably all know that this is found in 1 Corinthians 13. It's really found in the entire chapter, but let me just read the final verse to you. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or love, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, or love. This is Paul's encouragement to you. After all of these weeks of thinking through 1 Corinthians, all the messages and all the instructions that Paul has for us, these are five things that were really important to him. So important, he's reminding us now. That's definitely worthy of us taking some time to think back. Where did Paul talk about these things? What did he have to say about these things? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to be born all those years ago, but more importantly, Lord, not just to be born, but to die for us. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for his resurrection, how his return from the dead guarantees our salvation. Thank you for the message of 1 Corinthians so that we can learn how to better follow Jesus. Help us to do that today and continue to do that better for the end of this year and the beginning of next year. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Messiah. Amen.
Let's stand together as we continue singing this morning, O Come, All You Faithful.
O come, all ye faithful.
continue to sing and worship the Lord through song this morning, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. What a treat. Thanks for sharing your gift of music. If you've ever picked up a guitar, you know that what you just heard is not easy. And you guys made it look easy and sound beautiful. Thank you for that. Beautiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, please. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 16. And before we get to scripture this morning, I want to tell you about something that we're going to do the first week of the new year. So not starting today, but starting next week, we're going to encourage you to participate in what we're calling a week of prayer. There's a little more information at the table in the back, if you'd like to see that after the service this morning. But in general, what we're going to do is we're going to start next year, 2022, with some special prayer in both the morning and the evening gatherings. And then on Monday, our staff, the leadership team, always gathers together at 1:45 every Monday for our weekly meeting. And what we want to do is invite you, if you're available, to come. We'll be using the hour between 2 and 3 p.m. to pray together here in the auditorium. And if you're available and you'd like to join us, we want to invite you to do that. On Tuesday and on Friday, there will be a day of prayer where there's some sign-up times on the table in the back that you can sign up to be the person in our church who is praying for our church family. There will be a list of things that we would encourage you to pray for. And that will be on Tuesday and Friday. If you'd be willing to sign up in the back, you can do that. Wednesday, we have our evening adult prayer and Bible study here in the auditorium. On Thursday, there will be a special ladies' prayer and coffee or tea at 10 a.m. in the morning. And then on Saturday, our men's prayer breakfast. So opportunities all week long. This is the week of January 2 to 8, and we hope that you will take advantage of this and join us at least for one of these times of prayer as we get started with the new year. Just to give you a heads up, next week we're also going to encourage you, in Scripture, oftentimes prayer is put together with fasting. Giving up something that I spend time doing so that I can focus more on my relationship with God and my conversation with God in prayer. And so we want to encourage you to do that on that first week of January as well. We'll give you a few more ideas next week, but here's a couple that maybe you would give up a meal a day to pray instead. After the holidays, perhaps giving up a meal a day wouldn't be a bad idea, and you could slide in there some extra time for prayer. Giving up a daily coffee break maybe for prayer, or giving up the news. You might want to do that anyway, but give up the news for prayer. Give up social media for prayer. Maybe it's a television or movie night that you enjoy each week, giving that up for prayer. Maybe it's sugar or something else that we probably shouldn't be eating that you would give up for prayer. We'll talk about this more next week, but we want to encourage you to start the new year, to start 2022 with additional focus on conversations with God and praying for the health of our church and our nation. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 today, and as Holden mentioned, we have been in 1 Corinthians since the very beginning of May, so more than half of 2021 we spent in this book, which talks about building up the church. What does it take to build up a healthy church? We've talked about many, many things in this incredibly rich letter, but can I just remind you of a few and try to stay with me? I know you might have a little bit of sugar coma going from Christmas. But the very first point that he's going to make in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, our passage today, is to watch, to pay attention, to wake up. So to avoid guilty feelings in about 5 minutes when we get to the passage, wake up and listen to these things. See if you can let your brain just meditate on some of these truths that we've learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. A healthy church is fortified by grace. It is unified on the preeminence of the gospel. It is built on the foundation of true wisdom, yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit, embracing diversity of gifts in the body. A healthy church is building people with God and for His glory. It is full of maturing disciples that look more and more like Jesus and less like themselves. A healthy church builds itself through the daily discipline of discipleship. A healthy church is dealing properly with sin. It's dealing internally with its disputes. It takes all kinds of sin seriously. It promotes strong families, and a healthy church promotes the gospel in the lives of others by exercising its spiritual gifts. And remember the definition of spiritual gifts. These are spirit-empowered abilities given to every Christian through which the Spirit promotes Christ to the rest of the church through self-sacrificing love. A healthy church has that going on all of the time. A healthy church understands the importance of Jesus' resurrection and looks forward to its own. And then lastly, the last lesson we looked at in 1 Corinthians 16 is that a healthy church is a giving church, that it systematically and confidently and broadly gives, because love defines a Christian, right? Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Love defines us, and biblical love gives. For God so loved that he did what? He gave. Biblical love gives. So Christians who are living Christ-like lives as a body, they're giving. The last message is the one we look at today, and it's in verses 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. What are the final instructions that Paul gives the church? Here they are. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with agape love. Father, help us today as we look into your word to let it speak truth into our minds and our hearts today. Lord, it's so hard for us after vacation to wake up our minds to truth. And without the Holy Spirit, we just are going to waste time this morning. So please empower us and energize us with the Holy Spirit today that we might receive your truth and live it out as a body today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every week I've been bringing you an illustration from the world of construction as we talk about building up the church. And this morning I want to talk to you briefly about finishing touches. Finishing touches. The little details make all the difference. Guys in the construction world call this the punch list. The very last few things that must be done before it is finished, absolutely 100% finished. If you watch HGTV or something like that, you might watch shows where they finish homes and then sell them. And often there's this climax of terror in the person who's selling the home that the night before, we're not ready. And so what do? They stay up all night doing the finishing touches, and the next morning it looks perfect. The finishing touches make all the difference in the world. It's really the difference between good construction and great construction. Now, that's sort of an illustration of what Paul is bringing us today. Here are the finishing touches for a healthy church. The difference being this: you can live in a house that's not finished, right? I confess to you that I live in a house that's not finished just because I have a lot of projects that aren't quite done. They just need a little more time and a little more attention. But a church that is going to honor Jesus Christ, its head, and be built up and hold up the head in such a way that Jesus is honored and glorified and the church is edified, a church like that must have its finishing touches all in place. These are imperatives. These are not suggestions. These must be there. So let me give you these five things one at a time that Paul talks about. And you might be surprised at how important they are and how they pervade all of Scripture. In fact, I just encourage you to hold on. We're going to talk about a lot of Scripture references today because there is so much truth for us this morning. In fact, if you didn't notice, Holden put together a study guide for us today. Even though there are no community groups tonight, there's a section in here for notes. If you want to grab one off the back, you certainly can do that. But it gets you started on some of these truths this morning. Number one, watch. Pay attention. He's telling them to be spiritually alert. I've told you before that after 10 p.m. on any given night, I'm not my best. You know what I'm saying? I'm like some of you at 10:45 on Sunday morning, you know, just a little bit staring off into space. That's me after 10 o'clock every single night. I don't make the best decisions. I don't speak particularly articulate after 10 p.m. My reactions are slow. I don't make great decisions. But a lot of Christians, here's what Paul's saying, a lot of Christians go throughout life this way spiritually. They're lethargic. They're sleepy. It's like they need a shot of caffeine. Their emotions are raw. They're tired. They lack energy. And Paul says, look, you got to wake up. Wake up. Next Sunday morning, we're starting a new series of messages from the book of Jude. And the book of Jude starts with this message. Hey, you got to wake up to truth. These are dangerous times that we live in. Paul said this in Romans chapter 13. No, and that knowing the time that we live in, he was 2,000 years before us. And that knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. For Paul, he was talking a matter of months or years from the time of salvation to when he expected Christ. It's been 2,000 years and we see the world falling apart at the seams. Jesus is coming back. Amen? And it could be any moment. Now, he says, is the time to wake up, to pay attention. Many Christians are sleeping through their own spiritual life to their demise. They're not aware of the dangers that exist all around them. Can I just list a few of these dangers for you? Number one, Satan is active. People forget that Satan is bound and determined to destroy them and their family. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may do what to? Devour. Satan wants to destroy lives and families. That is his goal. That is his aim. People forget that they're susceptible to temptation. Jesus said in Mark chapter 14, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. People forget how bound and determined Satan is. They forget how weak their flesh is. They forget that they will soon give an account to God. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says unto the church in Sardis, I know your works, that you have a name, you have a reputation that you're alive, but I know that you're dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. You are about to give an account, church in Sardis. You better watch out. You better wake up. Number four, many Christians forget the necessity of prayer. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch in prayer. Paul, in his great passage on the armor of God, he says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Think about what he's saying. You should pour all of your energy into prayer. Even when we think about the first week of 2022 and giving time to prayer. Some of us, unfortunately, when we think about prayer, we think, I just don't have time for it. I don't have the energy to pour into prayer. And what Paul is saying is, look, you gotta pray. You can't survive without it. Many Christians forget that Jesus is coming at any moment. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus is coming back. Here are some reasons to watch. Satan's active. Sin is tempting. God is evaluating. Prayer is necessary. Jesus is coming. I remember talking to a parent one time of a junior high kid, and they had just given their junior higher a new smartphone. They were very proud that they had given their junior higher a new smartphone. And I just asked them, did you do anything to restrict what your junior high kid can do on their smartphone? And they said, no, I didn't know I could. And I asked them, I said, you didn't know you had the authority? Or you didn't know it was possible? Or you didn't know how to do it? You got to tell me what you're saying. You didn't know you could. You got to wake up. It's an incredibly dangerous world. And yet many Christians and Christian parents are just like, you know what? My kids will figure it out. Here's what they're going to figure out. 1 Peter 5:8, the devil is walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what they're going to figure out. So what do we as a church have to do? What do we as parents have to do? We got to wake up. I got to pay attention. Where are the dangers for my kids? Where are the dangers for my wife? Where are the dangers for me? How do I protect my family? That alone ought to drive us to our knees in prayer. Paul says, hey, church, I want to give you some last instructions, some final things. Number one, watch out. Pay attention. Be energized to the dangers around you. Some of us are so settled in and comfortable spiritually that we're just on the verge of falling asleep all of the time. 2022 is no time for spiritual lethargy. Can I just tell you that? The coming year is not going to be a year of relaxation. There will be challenges. Will we be prayed up? Will we be watching? Will we be spiritually energized? Will we be, as the song says, awake, alive, alert, and enthusiastic? We should be. If we really believe that Jesus is coming back at any moment. Paul says, number two, stand firm. Stand firm. Stand fast in the faith. Drive a stake in your biblical positions. Jude said this in verse 3, when I gave diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for your faith. He's not saying you should fight with each other. He's saying you should fight drift. You should fight the tendency to slide away from core truths of Scripture, the big T truths of this book. Next year's theme, our 2022 theme, will be holding on to truth. We're going to try to remind you of that all year long. Hold on to truth. Don't let go of the big T truths of Scripture. Hold on to the Word. Hold on to right doctrine. If you've ever rafted, whitewater rafted, you are instructed before you get in that there's this tube across the middle of the boat. It's called a thwart. And they tell you to take one of your feet, maybe both, and jam them underneath the thwart. And the reason is when you hit white water with a raft, you're likely to get bucked out. But if your feet are jammed under the thwart, it'll keep you in. And so they tell you when you're riding on the bus, don't forget, jam your feet under the thwart. When you get to the river and you're standing there and your guide is scaring you half to death with their instructions, they say, listen, when I say wedge, you're going to put your feet underneath the thwart. Don't forget. And then you're approaching, you're sitting in the boat and you're going down the river and you see whitewater approaching and you get close and the guide says, wedge! And most of us just stop paddling and stick our feet underneath and hold on for dear life, right? That's the idea of standing firm. You don't want to get tossed out. You don't want to get moved. What are we supposed to stand firm on? Well, we should stand firm on our commitment to truth, we already said. Stand firm on our commitment to truth. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Hold on to truths. Can I just ask you, how committed were you to the Bible in 2021? How committed were you to the Bible in 2021, the truths of Scripture? How committed will you be in 2022? If there was ever a year to take it seriously, I think it's next year. Take the Word of God seriously. Read it, meditate on it, memorize it, live it. Do you have a plan for these things? If you just hope that the Bible will be important in your life in 2022, you're not wedged under the thwart. What's going to happen is you're going to hit a little whitewater this year and bloop, you're going in the drink. You got to stand firm. You got to be wedged in. Number two, stand firm on your commitment to Jesus, the resurrected Messiah. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in Jesus. Paul said to Timothy, lay hold on eternal life. Hold on to Jesus. He's the one who claimed to be the way, the truth, and the what? The life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. How committed are you to the exclusive power of Jesus to save lost souls? Stand firm on your commitment to Jesus. I believe in our lifetime, we'll see Americans dying for their faith in Jesus Christ. So the question is, are we committed? How committed are you to the truth that Jesus is God? How committed are you to the truth that he rose himself from the dead? How committed are you to the command that we're to spread his name to all creatures? Stand firm on your commitment to Jesus. Thirdly, stand firm on your commitment to the church. Paul said in Philippians 1:27, let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. Paul says this all throughout his epistles. Hold on to each other. Hold on to each other. I mean, no doubt in 2022, some people will fall out of the boat of the church. No doubt. Not just this church, but their faith. Why? They're not committed. Remember, the church is not a place or a program. It's not just an idea. The church is these people. How committed are you to the spiritual well-being of these people? How committed are you to gathering even when you don't want to? How committed are you to funding discipleship? Are we committed to the church? The truth, Jesus, the church. Fourthly, righteousness. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Do you know we're living in an evil day? Amen. We're living in an evil day. Will the church stand? That's you guys. That's not the leaders. We're part of it. But will we stand? Will we stand for righteousness? How hard do you work against sin? I don't mean the sin of others. I mean, you can yell at your TV when you see sin on TV, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our own sin. How hard am I working and confessing my own sin and dealing with my own unrighteousness? The day is evil. The devil is active. What am I doing with my own immorality and idolatry and blasphemy and dishonesty and unkindness and unforgiveness, prayerlessness and pride? If First Baptist Church is to be a healthy church, we have to pay attention. We have to stand firm in our commitments. Thirdly, he says to grow up. Grow up. Verse number 13, quit you like men, or act like men. In chapter 13, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And you might know the context in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the what chapter? The love chapter. What Paul was saying was this: when I was a child, I loved me. Don't all kids naturally love themselves? Yeah. But I'm learning as I grow up to love others. I'm learning as I grow up to have my loyalty be elsewhere, not here. Children are so selfish. But what's another natural descriptor of children? They're fearful. They're needy. They're jealous of their siblings. They're often disobedient. They're lazy. Paul says all of this stuff, all of it, needs to go away as we grow up in Jesus. No more fear. No more self-centeredness. No more laziness. No more disobedience. No more sibling rivalry. Not in a healthy church. Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, that we be no more children? What happens to children? They're tossed to and fro, and they're carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But you, church, you speak the truth in love and grow up in Him in all things. Maybe this is the biggest part of growing up. Speaking truth. Think about it. Hard truth, uncomfortable truth, necessary truth, unpopular truth. Those who are mature know how to speak the truth, but to do it in love, motivated by love and delivered with love. One of the great joys, if you've had the privilege of raising children from toddlers all the way through adulthood, one of the great joys that we're experiencing now is hearing young people go from just talking to communicating truth. It's an amazing thing as a parent to hear truth coming from your child. Like, wow, that's pretty cool, right? It's the difference between immaturity and maturity. Everybody can talk, but not everybody can speak truth. And there's certainly a smaller group who can take truth and deliver it with love. That is the magic of maturity. Paul says, you got to pay attention. You got to stand firm. You got to grow up. Fourthly, you got to be strong. You got to be strong. How do you be strong as a Christian? Well, Jesus told us in John chapter 15, right? He said, "With me, you can, or without me, you can do what? Nothing. So how do I develop strength? I got to be in Jesus. That's a biblical concept. Paul said in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in who? The Lord. Colossians chapter 1, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. To be strong by being in Jesus, plugged into the vine. Are you plugged into Jesus? Number two, how do you develop strength? You remember grace. 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in grace. Remember what grace teaches us? What strength does grace teach us? Grace reminds us that everything I have, all of the good things in my life, are given to me from God, and they're completely what? Undeserved. They're completely undeserved. And so if I really get a hold of grace, my response is gratitude. I don't expect anything. Wow, anything good I have. I woke up today. That's of God's grace. I have a church family. That's of God's grace. I have the Bible in my own language. That's of God's grace. I got to listen to beautiful music. That's of God's grace. Everything is a gift of his grace. Paul says, be strong in grace. It'll strengthen you when you realize you deserve nothing. Thirdly, you got to deal with sin. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we were talking about the Lord's Supper. What did Paul say at the end of his instructions for the Lord's Supper? For many are weak, that's not strong, and sick. Why? They weren't doing something. They weren't examining themselves. Examine yourself, he says. Deal with sin. Daniel makes an interesting statement in his prophecy that the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Don't you want that to be a description of your Christian life? I mean, I think that'd be a cool like epitaph on a tombstone. He was strong and did exploits, you know? I mean, that's a great, great description of what God wants for his people. Paul says you got to be strong. And then lastly, you must love. Let all your things, I think that's an interesting way of saying it, let all your stuff be done with agape love. What does agape love do? Agape love is not just a feeling. Agape love is a commitment. I will give. I will sacrifice. You see, this balances all of the other ones because I need to be alert with love. I need to be firm with love. I need to be courageous and act like a man with love. I need to be strong with love. All of this with love. But not just love, right? If I just love and I don't have strength and I don't have courage, then the gospel is hurt. But if I'm strong and courageous and I don't have love, people are hurt. So I have to balance it. All five of these things are necessary in a healthy church. Here's what Christ did when he demonstrated love. He brought his disciples all into the room. You remember this? And here he was. This is the master. Don't forget who he is. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the one who someday will return on a white horse. And he will open his mouth. And scripture says, at the opening of his mouth, all unrighteousness, all wickedness, all rebellion will be wiped from the earth in a moment. That's the one, okay? This is Jesus. He's standing with his disciples. And he goes over and he gets a bowl of water and a towel. And he brings it over and he kneels down in front of his disciples and he washes their feet one at a time. It was so crazy. Remember, Peter said, Lord, he got it. He knew who Jesus was. Don't you wash my feet? You're not my slave. And Jesus said, this is how you show love. John chapter 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have just loved you. Don't forget the context. In the verses preceding this, Jesus was washing their feet. As I have just loved you. You dirty, stinking, at times dumb guys. I just loved you. Now, as I have done that, so you should love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Not that you have warm, fuzzy feelings toward one another, but that you wash each other's feet. agape, sacrificial love. So whose feet are you going to wash today? Whose feet are you going to wash this week? Whose feet are you going to wash in 2022? There's something that binds all of this together. Look at that list again. Pay attention, stand firm, grow up, be strong, love always. I want to give this to you real quickly as we conclude today, because this is really important. If we just went through a couple dozen passages of Scripture. That's a lot of Scripture. And we went through a lot of truth. And I know I committed the PowerPoint sin of putting too many words up there and not enough pictures. So I hope you stayed with us, okay? A lot of words. But there's a lot of truth in these brief five commands. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home with one truth. Just one. Because all of these are wrapped up in one truth. I'm going to give it to you in just a second. In James chapter 1, James tells us how to pay attention. He paints an incredible picture. He says that some people, think how silly this would be, some people go to the mirror in the morning and they look in the mirror and they see that there needs to be an improvement. Something needs to happen. A brush, a toothbrush. Something needs to happen. And yet, they're tempted to walk away and not change anything. This is exactly how some people approach the Word of God. They hear the truth. They know the truth. And yet when they look into the perfect law of liberty, they're not willing to do the truth. And so they walk away unchanged. Here's what he says, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. When you do this, you deceive yourself. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his face in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and forgets what he looked like, forgets the problems. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. On Sunday mornings when it's cold, I usually wear a hat or just don't do my hair on Sunday mornings. And I drive the Jeep and I pick up Johnny at his house on Sunday mornings. And by the time we get here, a lot of times if my hair's long, I got a nice afro going. You know what I'm saying? Very tall. And one of my fears is that I'll forget and just come waltzing in here and preach. And you all will have a hard time paying attention and concentrating, right? When you look in the mirror, as soon as you notice there's a problem, you should probably do something about it, right? This is what James says. Those people who pay attention, they pay attention to the details, are the ones who look into the word, they hear the truth, and they say, Lord, change me. I want to do that. I want to obey. I don't want to be a forgetful hearer. So how do you pay attention? How do you wake up? Well, James implies that it's by looking into the word. Well, how do you stand firm? I read to you a moment ago this verse from 2 Thessalonians. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. How do you stand firm? You remember what you've been taught in the word. You notice the common theme? How do you pay attention? You got to know what the word says. How do you stand firm? You got to know what the word says. How do you grow up? Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the what? The word, that you would grow thereby. So how do you stand firm? It's the word. How do you pay attention? It's the word. How do you grow up? It's the word. How do you be strong? You might say Ephesians chapter 6. Remember in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul gives this great list of armor, and he keeps saying throughout the entire passage, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord, stand up against the devil. And at the very end, he says, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The Word of God. How do you be strong in the Lord? You are in the Word. Well, how do you love all of the time? You might guess what the answer is. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 21, he that has my commandments, that's his word, and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. John said in 1 John chapter 4, if you have the love of God in you, what comes out? Love for people. If you don't have love for people, you don't have the love of God. Jesus says, if you love my word, you have love in you. So how do you pay attention? It's the word. How do you stand firm? It's the word. How do you grow up? It's the word. How are you strong? It's the word. How do you love all of the time? It's the word. So as we approach 2022, what should our commitment be? To the word, right? That is where spiritual success lies, recommitting to the word of God. It's popular for some Christians as we approach January 1 of another year to make a resolution about Bible reading. I would say absolutely. What a great time to start if you're not already faithfully reading the word. I was thinking this week and talking to a friend about, like, what is the bare minimum? What do you have to get done? Like, is a verse enough? Should it be a chapter? Should it be 5 minutes? Should it be 10 minutes? Like, what is the bare minimum? And the answer I came to was this. I don't have a clue for you. But I know for me, when I'm starting to feel spiritually emaciated, when I'm starting to feel lethargic, when my love starts waning, when I'm not strong, I know how much Bible intake I've had. And I got to tell you, it's more than a verse. It's more than a chapter. I need to be taking in the Word of God and memorizing it and meditating it, meditating on it and letting it change my life. As we draw to the end, want to be a healthy church? I do. What must we do? We must pay attention, stand firm, grow up, be strong, and love always by recommitting ourselves to the Word of God. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for teaching us again your truth. Lord, you've commanded us that we're to speak the truth to one another and to do so in love. And so I pray that this morning the truths that we heard would not be heard as a rebuke, but they would be heard as the loving exhortation of a pastor to people, that we would grow up in him, our head, and that he would be, Jesus would be preeminent in all we do and say. Lord, I believe that we, like the church of Sardis, are in danger of only having a reputation for being spiritual, but not actually being spiritually minded, spirit-led, word-centered believers. Lord, if that has been true of us in the past, would you change us? And would 2022 be a year where we hold on to truth tenaciously for your glory? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That starry night, the joy of soul's delight, Christ the spotless Lamb, Christ the great I am. Hail the newborn King, resound with praises sing. Oh, holy is the Lord, the Son of God now born. Jesus, Savior, faithful Redeemer, rejoice, O joy of heaven is He. Christ be
the one who would be slain. He who take our place and bear our sin and shame. There the gift of gifts, the Father's promised one. With angels now rejoice, our King of hope has come. Jesus, Savior, faithful Redeemer, rejoice, O joy of heaven is He. Christ beloved, humble deliverer, rejoice, O joy.
Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.